Okay, we'll get started with this next section. So if you have your notes, go to the first page on this section of Ecclesiology, God's plan and purpose for his church. Today we're going to talk about a healthy and faithful established church and look at what marks a healthy church versus a less than healthy church. And there are certainly churches that we should say, and we should be able to say, that's not a healthy church. It is an unhealthy, sick church. Perhaps it's dying. Perhaps it's just really unhealthy. And so we'll talk about those important factors of what is it that makes a church healthy. And as you can see from our schedule, we just have a couple more weeks in this series on the church. We're going to talk about the leadership of the church and then ordinances and worship. And there are many other aspects we could talk about. But we just came out of a series this summer on body life and the one another's. Last summer, we also looked at many of the aspects of a church that are healthy. So if there are areas of the church that you're interested in talking about, I would encourage you to go back to some of the notes that are on our website in those areas. As with most things, we have great content on our website. We try and make sure that that's available to you so that if there are questions of that you might have, you can just do a quick search in the search bar, and either you'll find a sermon or some notes on that. And we actually went through the Ecclesiology section 7 years ago. So we don't have audio from that time. We weren't recording equipping our classes, what we called it at that time. We do have notes from that if you want those original notes. And actually for Cedar Creek, we put these all together in a binder, the whole study of God's church. So I'd be willing to make a binder for you too, because that's all ready to go for you from what we taught when we were up at Cedar Creek with our Sunday school. All right, so let's look at page 2. We are going to talk about some of these areas of health as much or as little as you direct me, okay? So I'd love to see lots of hands, lots of input, and we can talk about the things that are most important for us who are gathered here. It's also a benefit to those listening online, and the notes are there as well online. But there are over 6,000 churches in Michigan, at least what the census classifies as churches. And there's 602 in Kent County. And then I listed Ottawa and Muskegon because that kind of comprises West Michigan more or less. But out of those 600 congregations, I did my best to try and find unhealthy churches. And it's kind of hard to find unhealthy churches because guess what? There isn't a church out there that raises their hand and says we're unhealthy. They don't put that on their website. So it's kind of hard to navigate and figure out. But I know that at least 100 are in the category of Roman Catholic. They're Orthodox. There are other religions that qualify as a church by the census. And so we can kind of cross those out. And maybe you'll push back against that, but Roman Catholicism and Orthodox churches, I would argue, aren't churches that are healthy because they're not worshiping God as he ought to be with the understanding of who Jesus is, the sole redeemer of our souls. That's a big deal with doctrine, what a healthy church is. So then there's another 100 in the category that are quite liberal. They don't believe the 66 books of our Bibles to be inerrant and inspired word of God. They're culture conforming. They're shifting with the sands of time and culture. And then there's another 100 or so that are in denominations that are quite troubled, such as the CRC, where many are leaving for good reasons. Okay, so in our county alone, the 600 churches in our county, they're not all healthy. And depending on who you ask, you might say there's not very many that are healthy. But I would say that you can find them, and there are some other churches. They don't have the same philosophy of ministry that we do, but there are other healthy churches around West Michigan. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What makes a church good? Is it the seating situation, the music, the environment? Is it the kids' programs and the classes, the training programs that they have? Is it the people and the relationships that you'll meet and the community that you find? Is this the friendliness, the diversity, demographics? Is it the style, the tradition, philosophy of ministry? Well, these do play a part in what makes a church good, but is it also the location or the convenience? It's a good church because it's close by me. Well, that's a factor too. I don't drive to Detroit to go to church. I come here. If you are a visitor today at Maranatha, this is a good question for us to ask. If pretend you walked into Maranatha for the very first time, and some of you, and this is decades of undoing some memories, but if you were to come to Maranatha for the first time today, what would you see? What would you experience? How would you look around and evaluate, is this a good church? Is this a good church? What should you be looking for? And then I just put here as a way of reminder the descriptions and the purpose of the church. And I thought about going through this again, that we are the body, the temple, the bride, the family, the building, the flock, and the branches. I didn't give you enough time to write all those down, but you can go back and listen to Peter's teaching last week on those word pictures. And then the mission of the church. This should also shape our thinking of what's a healthy church. God is to be exalted. The people are to be equipped in the body. And the world is to be evangelized. That's the function or the mission of the church. And it's all listed there in Matthew 28. It was Jesus who was given authority. He was to be worshiped. And there was to be teaching of what he taught. We should teach our disciples all that Jesus commanded and go and make new disciples. So there's the mission of the church. So just thinking about those areas that often people will evaluate what makes a good church, talk to me a little bit about what you've heard, what you've seen people talk about, what's a good church. Let's just have a kind of an introductory discussion on what's a good church. What have you heard people say, either good or bad, positively or negatively? Yeah, Bible in your name is a plus. It helps us, for sure. Yeah, it's more than a name. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Michael. So the preaching is a major factor in the depth and the content of the sermon. And to that end, many will, that's kind of the only thing that they're evaluating. And so if they like the style, or I'm going to say in a negative way, if they feel the pastor, if like, I just didn't feel it with that guy, you know, I don't relate to him. And so they might leave it because of a style or a preference in the way that someone preaches. And some of that can be a good barometer, but some people will also evaluate, is it a good church? And they themselves don't have a good idea of what preaching should be. A good church should be measured by solid preaching. Absolutely. We need to talk about what is solid preaching. That's important to know. Because you'll hear people say, well, I just didn't like the preaching. Well, what didn't you like about it? Was it that it pricked something in your heart and it made you feel the weight of your sin or the conviction to go do something that is a responsibility of every believer? Or is it that you didn't get anything out of it because it actually was a little bit basic or shallow? Or maybe that was an off week for the pastor and you needed to stick around for the next week and hear a different sermon. So preaching is definitely a factor. Other?
As far as wrong perceptions on preaching, is length.
The length of the preaching?
20 minutes. I've heard so many people say, if he preaches over 20 minutes.
Over 20 minutes. That's the...
Yeah. I mean, I heard that a lot from people after I preach.
Yeah, so the length of time in the preaching. And university students are expected to sit in the class for 50 minutes straight and be engaged on a particular topic. And yet we have TikTok, Instagram, and Snappy Chatty or whatever it's called, and they're dialed into three-second blips of information. And so, yeah, with the time frame of preaching, we need to help people understand what is necessary. You can preach a good sermon in 30 minutes, and I think it's Luther who actually recommended you should be able to accomplish something in 30 minutes and clearly divide the Word of God. But you can also, you can clearly divide the Word of God in 40 minutes or 35 minutes or 55 minutes or an hour and 5 minutes. I don't know what our record is here at Maranatha. I think it might be 66 minutes when we were in the book of Daniel. There was a 66-minute sermon. I know that I've gone over an hour at least once. So I don't know. Time, yeah. That's right. Yeah, so you're not thinking about the time because it is a good use of time, and the preacher is communicating it in such a way that you are engaged with it, and you're not going to get distracted of, you know, when do the Lions play and what time is it, and you want more. Yeah, it drives you to be hungrier. Mm-hmm. It's good. Tom? Right, exactly.
That's fairly new for us, but I know having been brought up with charismatic church, kind of the build up of that emotion and what crash afterwards is filling, and not having, as I told Melissa, I didn't really know what it was, but something was missing. It was just something. Hmm. So you might be in a church where we talk about the grace of the Lord, we talk about all the things that make us feel good about being in church on Sunday, but then
I'll repeat for the video, just the completeness of the word being vital rather than a unsatisfactory ups and downs, topsy-turvy, emotion-led focus. And you can see that in the mission as well. When the way that God is exalted is only in one way, the way that we're equipped is only in one way, or evangelized only in one way. So out on the streets, when you're at the marketplace and you're trying to offer people free Bibles and free books that lead people to understand the counsel of God, and two booths over is a Pentecostal guy, and his table is full of how you can speak in tongues and how you can experience this phenomenon and knowing God in a personal, it's all very experience focused. And I'm not trying to harp on our Pentecostal brothers and sisters in Christ, and I believe that there are some for sure. I'm just trying to say what you're saying is that when the focus is directed at what God has given us to do and to try and do that in a faithful way, it's more satisfying, and I think is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, then just to repeat again, just knowing God in a personal way, not an experience of God in a personal way. That's good. Let's go to page 4. Let's look at some of the marks that have been listed over the years. Probably the most common one, if you've heard of Mark Dever, he once preached a sermon on nine marks of a healthy church. He also has written a letter to a church that he planted and giving them the counsel after, you know, years after he was gone, saying these are marks to uphold. And it became kind of a parachurch organization to help many churches remain healthy in this way. So here's the nine marks: preaching, biblical theology, so understanding all of the parts of the Bible and its themes, the gospel, conversion, an understanding from the Bible of evangelism, and membership, church discipline, growth, and growth in godliness and maturity, not growth in numbers, and then biblical understanding of leadership. So those are the nine marks that they listed, and he's been criticized by friends by saying, well, what about worship? What about missions? What about music? Or not music, but yeah, missions, prayer, worship were some of the examples that he said could have made the list, but they didn't, okay? So it's not a comprehensive list of all things in health, but there's that list, and I think that's a good start. As you look at a church's bulletin, you can see if these are a priority, if they have on their website, you know, series after series after mini series of just topics of, and you can tell from a sermon's title sometimes if the preaching is expository or explaining the meaning of the text. You're going to see something that jumps right out from that scripture rather than a topic that's going to make you a better, wiser, faster person, okay? So you get a lot of sermon titles out there that are ear-tickling. Biblical theology as well, just do they rely on the Word of God or are they looking to be trendy and match culture? Any questions on these nine marks? I mean, I'm not trying to sell books here, but this is a good list, and it is grounded and rooted in the kind of truths about the church that we often go to nine marks in their books for. Yeah, Dan. Where is God's words preached? Where is God's spirit evident? And where can we be useful? That's a great, shorter list of ways to look for a good church. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And just for repetition, the fruit of it. Where's the fruit of the ministry? Are people growing? Like number eight, are people growing? Is there a vibrancy? Because God is at work among these people. And that might be hard to measure on paper with numbers or such. But I think the reformers, many reformed churches have measured healthy churches, and it's probably in a creed or confession that it's not coming to mind right now. It hinges on the Word of God, the sacraments, and church discipline. That's what marks a healthy church in its basic forms for a reformed tradition churches. And it can be expanded out with those sacraments being ordinances in the words we typically use.
Got there. there were a lot of people there, but they weren't professing believers. And so they set up interviews with every member.
Didn't they discipline like 400 members of their church because they weren't actually doing what members should be doing? Not discipline in a way that they shamed them all, but just removing people from their membership role because they weren't active. You know, Dan, to your point of just how can we serve, they weren't. That's like this other litmus test I put down here at the bottom of page 4. If you have 900 members and only 200 are ever in church on Sunday, that's concerning. They're not really members. If they're not around, if they're not really a part of that body. And I think what you're saying is there are people who weren't even believers, right? And that's equally concerning. So misunderstanding of number 3, the gospel.
John MacArthur at the end of 40 years was asked, what is, if you could put it in one word, what's the reason for the success of your and the elders' ministry at Grace? He said church discipline.
Church discipline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a...